Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Leslie Hirsch. He is the President and Chief Executive Officer of St. Peter's Healthcare System in New Brunswick. Les, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time. There's a lot going on at the hospital. I want to get to what you're doing and what's new there. But I did want to start with a couple of headlines from the news. The first is COVID. Back in the news again, President Biden suggesting that the pandemic is no longer anything that folks need to worry about. I'm curious as to what you're seeing at St. Peter's, what your staff is telling you, what your observation is generally around the state about the state of the pandemic, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, whether we're in a full-fledged pandemic or not, I'll leave to those that know more about defining that than I do. But the fact is, COVID is still very present. We still are seeing COVID patients every day here at St. Peter's. I haven't checked the census today, but we've been anywhere between 10 and 20 over the last couple of weeks. So again, it still is present. We've even had some patients that have been canceled for surgery when they, you know, come in the morning of and we test them. Patients find out, you know, that they're COVID positive. Not acutely ill. So when someone is positive, we do cancel surgery. So it's definitely still there, but there's no doubt about it.
Okay. Still there. Not a crisis at this point, certainly. I mean, it's something that folks do have to be aware of, that it's still there. It's still circulating. It's still possible to get it.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I know some people, you know, certainly I won't mention any names, you know, but some of our folks here at St. Peter's have recently gotten COVID. It may have been a second time. And, you know, some people have had some pretty significant symptoms with it, not requiring hospitalization for them, thankfully. But it's still something to keep an eye out for. And, you know, no doubt about it, even though here in the hospital, when we are out and about, we are wearing masks still.
Sure.
But generally, I think in the public, the population, you know, has got a lot of fatigue over wearing masks. And, you know, as you go around, you could see very few people are still wearing masks.
Right. Yeah. That's anecdotally, I can say that's certainly true. And that may be what the president was referring to, that just folks have moved on and are no longer taking those kinds of precautions. Go ahead.
Right now, Jeff, what we are seeing is a lot of sick people. The emergency rooms have been very busy with COVID. There's just in the last few days, it's really manifested itself in the last week in the pediatrics realm. A lot of sick children. In fact, in the last week, we have gotten extremely busy with our census in the pediatric intensive care unit, in the pediatrics unit, pediatrics emergency department here at St. Peter's. And around the state, I don't know if you've heard about it, but there's a lot going on in terms of focus on that. In fact, I just saw a notice this morning for a meeting with the Department of Health tomorrow and the industry, because all of a sudden there's a lot of virus going around among children, rhinovirus, RSV, other viruses. So again, besides COVID, we have to be concerned about other viruses.
Sure. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to, what you're talking about is not necessarily COVID cases, just other kinds of illnesses that have been, that I guess now that everybody's back in school and nobody's wearing masks anymore, I guess that's going to happen.
Yeah. And we're holding our breath to see, you know, we really haven't had a difficult flu season in several years, four years. And at least a couple of things that I've read is there's anticipation that this could be a more challenging flu season than we've seen in the last few years.
Right. Okay. Well, let's hope not. let's hope that people do get their shots and take precautions. The other story I want to talk about happened back in the summer. You had an agreement with a merger agreement with RWJ Barnabas. Federal antitrust regulators stepped in, blocked that deal. Where does that leave you? Where does that leave St. Peter's? Where do you go from here at this point now that that's not a possibility?
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking about that. We were both very disappointed, our colleagues at RWJ Barnabas, as well as here at St. Peter's, and a lot of disappointment around that, and a lot of hard work went into that. And ultimately, we truly believe that what we had set out to do would be an excellent thing for the state of New Jersey in creating a premier academic medical center. And we also believe that it would really be a great benefit to the communities that we serve, not only the entire state, but certainly the immediate communities sure. that we serve. But the regulators right now are really merger averse. And you know, when people say what happened, you know, my kind of stock answer is we were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and we've been punished for the sins of others. And what I mean by that is that right now, if you look nationally, not only in healthcare, but also across other industries, the Federal Trade Commission, Justice Department are really amping up their efforts in terms of reviewing mergers and being opposed to them. And, you know, our state has seen a lot of consolidation in healthcare, and they've gotten to the point where they're raising questions about it. And, you know, so the timing of our trying to do this is probably the worst timing in the last 50 years, according to our antitrust counsel, who has watched this for many, many years. We're just in one of those periods. If this was several years earlier, the likelihood is we would have been approved for this okay. this transaction. And again, I think those that lose most in this is the community, because this would have been a generational investment in the community. And this was not about raising prices or gaining leverage in negotiations. This was all about serving the people of the state of New Jersey with something that doesn't exist in New Jersey. We have a lot of great major teaching hospitals, one of which is St. Peter's, but we don't really truly have a premier academic medical center when you think about research and teaching and the full breadth of clinical services, the likes of which, you know, are in Philadelphia and New York City and other parts of the country. That's what we were setting out to do. So now the challenge is, you know, given that the government has blocked that, then how do we go about certainly figuring out, you know, our best future at St. Peter's? And, you know, that's what we're working on right now.
Okay. Well, that's the next thing I was going to ask you about is what are you working on? But first, you mentioned that this was a bad time. Certainly, I think the people at Englewood and Hackensack Meridian would say the same thing, since their merger was also blocked. Are you still looking for that kind of partnership, a full-fledged merger, or are you looking at other kinds of structures? I mean, when I talked to your counterpart at HMH, Bob Garrett, he said that M&A could still be a tool, but that he was looking at other kinds of options. What are you on that? Where are you on that? And before we get into what some of the other things that you're doing, are you still looking for that kind of combination?
Yeah, all of the above. You know, we've undertaken what we refer to here as a Catholic hospital as a discernment process, really mission-based decision making. And for us, when we look at our future and how we think about ourselves going forward, and even on a day-to-day basis, it's all about our mission and how do we sustain our Catholic mission. You know, St. Peter's is the only remaining single hospital healthcare system that remains in Middlesex County.
Right.
Is one of the few single hospital health systems that remain in the state of New Jersey. So we're back to evaluating it again with our board and with our bishop, Bishop James F. Cecchio, who's our sole member, actually, as well as our spiritual leader. And so we haven't made any decisions, Jeff, whether or not we are bent more toward a full merger or a strategic partnership. I think given the nature of where we are today in the world of healthcare, it's not as easy for a single organization to stand alone. St. Peter's is approaching about a $600 million operation is where we are. And if you think about that, that is a very substantial number, especially for a single hospital entity.
Certainly.
If you look at us in terms of scale, we don't have the same scale that the big systems have that are 10, 15 times our size. So again, it's not about rates. It's about, you know, the ability to have scale in technology and access to capital. Participating in various health plans is important. So we're looking at it all, and whether we decide on some partnership or or some, you know, whether it's a merger or some partnership. I think that we do need to consider, you know, all of the above.
Okay.
Because it's just difficult as a single entity, you know, to be successful for the long haul, you know, given the scale around us.
Right. Well, that was the last thing I was going to ask you about. This was whether you thought there was still room for an organization like yours in the current market. What I hear you saying is you don't think so.
Well, with an asterisk, I think it's possible we could decide on to remain as an independent organization where there's no change of control.
Okay.
The member substitution as we were planning in a full merger. But at the same time, develop a strategic partnership where perhaps there's the ability to have support for capital funding, access to technology. You know, the electronic health record is a very expensive proposition. So there are possibilities where we could partner, but not necessarily give up control. So while we haven't made a final decision about it, the good news is, I think as a single entity, we do have a strong financial position right now, actually stronger than when we set out to look at this issue 5 years ago. So we're definitely in a much better position today, irrespective of all the headwinds that we have in the market. And we could talk a little bit more about that if you'd like. But, you know, the fact that, you know, we have, you know, greater financial strength, I think, gives us more options to consider our future. But I do think that, you know, some strategic partnership, not necessarily a change of control in a full merger, you know, could be something that's very positive for St. Peter's. So we'll see. Time will tell. More to come.
Okay. Well, fair enough. We'll then move on to talk about some of the things you are doing. Some of the things your colleagues have shared with me on expanding services, including adult intensive care, outpatient rehabilitation services, surgical services, modernizing the family health center. What are your priorities at this point? Here we as we are in September of 2022, moving forward, are those what you're the kinds of things you're talking about? If so, tell us a little bit more about them and what else you've got going on.
Yeah, no, those are you've been well briefed and informed by our team. So those are, you know, a lot of the major projects that we're looking at right now. We're working on a very substantial project at our family health center. You may be familiar. It's located on Howe Lane, and it's actually, other than our main campus where St. Peter's University Hospital is, our family health center, the St. Peter's Family Health Center, is our largest other facility. It's a facility where we now see about 60,000 visits a year. We have adult medical, surgical, women's and children's services, our child protection center there. So it's a very extensive center. And importantly, we serve the most vulnerable population here in New Brunswick and the surrounding communities. Largely, the patients that are served there are either uninsured or on public insurance, be it Medicaid, Medicare. So it really is a mission-driven facility, and I'd say one of very few, if any, in the state. So we do have a major expansion going on there. It's a $12 million expansion. We'll be substantially increasing the number of exam rooms, but not only the patient facilities, also the programming in terms of the support that we provide for what is a very vulnerable population with a focus on social determinants of health. You know, what constitutes why people, you know, may have some of the illnesses or morbidity that they do. So, you know, food insecurities, you know, what's their housing situation? Can we do anything in the realm of education? So it's really a very comprehensive approach to just seeing patients in a clinical, you know, outpatient environment. It's really, there's a strong social element that goes with this as well. And it's going to be a part of our budget in 2023 that, in fact, I just met with my team yesterday, and we're looking at some material investments in infrastructure there to further support, you know, the needs of the community beyond just, you know, whether or not we see somebody because, you know, they need a well visitor, a vaccination, or they have a cold. So very exciting project. And we're excited that we were able to secure a $5 million appropriation in the state budget this year that will help to support that. We're grateful to our delegation and Speaker Coughlin and ultimately the governor, you know, for approving the budget. So really, when you think about the community, a very exciting project. So that's a big one for us. We're in the process of a pretty substantial renovation of an outpatient facility up on Easton Avenue in Somerset, right outside of New Brunswick. The ICU, as you mentioned, is going to be a complete modernization of our intensive care unit at St. Peter's. And, you know, so those are some of the very large projects that we're undertaking. And now post, you know, post merger and the discussion that we just had, we're also engaged in a very active, you know, look at program and how do we expand other services. You know, St. Peter's is well known for its maternity and children's services. We are, we're, you know, one of the first, if not the first children's hospital in the state. And, you know, we're celebrating, I think, 30 years on that this year. But, you know, we are a full service hospital. And so we've got a lot of needs. So we've got a lot of planning going on, you know, around cancer, cardiac, other services, and also a master facilities project, planning project. You know, we have the old vocational school that is a part of our campus and that has sat dormant. And we've got to figure out what the best use is for that facility as well.
Okay,
so well, that, going on in terms of thinking about the future.
Right. Well, that'll be interesting to hear about too. I wanted to just get to a little more on social determinants of health. Whenever I speak to any of your peers, the subject always comes up. For viewers who don't know, St. Peter's is in an urban setting in New Brunswick, right on Easton Avenue, right basically in just off of downtown, really. Very, you know, New Jersey is so densely populated; almost every hospital is in an urban setting. So it's something that I hear a lot about. Yeah. What can you tell me about what you're doing, what St. Peter's is doing along those lines? How do you reach out to the community? How do you reach the folks that you need to reach?
Yeah, well, we have a very, and it's been here for a long time in terms of our community outreach and what we do in the community with our programming, our mobile van. And frankly, we've worked collaboratively with Robert Wood University Hospital for many years. There's probably nothing more than we've done together than the work that we've done in the community here. In fact, every year, not that we're looking to beat our chest, but I think I could speak for my colleagues in saying that we have a lot of pride in the fact that no hospitals, I think, have won more awards for community outreach than St. Peter's and University Hospital, Robert Wood University Hospital together. So we have a history of really being out in the community, whether it was during COVID and, you know, certainly not during COVID. So we are out there, certainly in terms of St. Peter's, with all of our screenings, our mobile health unit, you know, what we do at the Family Health Center, as I described before. So, you know, the other thing to keep in mind is that New Brunswick also has, according to the American Community Survey, is one of the highest rates of population living under the federal poverty level.
Right.
And, you know, often you think of other cities in the state, you know, when you think about that, we're right behind Camden and Atlantic City.
Okay.
More so some of other cities in the state. We literally, I believe, are number four in the state when it comes to the percentage of population living under the federal poverty level at 34%. And we provide a lot of charity care, you know, like where patients come, they provide their information and we can score them in such a way where in the state of New Jersey, they would be deemed eligible for designation for charity care. And if you look at hospitals in the state, we are the 10th most frequent provider of charity care based on revenue. If you look in gross terms, it's really, I think we were number seven the last time I looked. And again, if you think of the hospitals in New Brunswick, we have two. I just mentioned our colleagues.
Right.
Other than the city of Newark, there are no hospitals in the state of New Jersey that provide more documented charity care than the hospitals collectively in New Brunswick.
Okay.
And interestingly, our population here is only 57,000.
Right.
We don't have the population of some of the other cities. So, you know, New Brunswick, again, is a city that has a lot of very positive economic news going on, you know, right, to the credit of all of our political leaders and collaboration with the state and legislature. But we also have a population that's very vulnerable as well. And that, you know, so I make those points about right, that.
No, certainly. And you know, as I said, it's something that I hear a lot, and I'm interested to hear your view on it. So thanks for that. When you and I first spoke a couple of years ago, we talked a lot about the issue of elective angioplasty and what was going on with Horizon. At the time, you were, if I recall correctly, you were involved in litigation. I think that that's now been settled. Am I right about that? That you've been able to move on. How is that working now? What are you doing at this point?
Well, that's true. I'll mention about elective angioplasty first. We are licensed now to provide elective angioplasty. And, you know, interestingly, again, I won't go into the whole history. It was many, many years of that being an issue in New Jersey. I don't know that I could recall any more of a politicized regulatory issue in terms of, you know, the franchise, who has what. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was a long time where you wouldn't do elective angioplasty in a place that didn't have cardiac surgery backup. Right. Research and everything proved that. So St. Peter's was previously licensed to do diagnostic cardiac catheterization, as were maybe 20 other hospitals in the state. And we were also allowed to do angioplasty, which is the insertion of a device into the coronary arteries to open up a blockage, right, and prevent a heart attack or further damage. We were allowed to do that on an emergency basis. What the argument was and the issue was, if you're allowed to do it on an emergency basis, why can't you do it electively? If there's a patient in a bed here at the hospital at St. Peter's or elsewhere that needs a catheterization, that it's not an emergency, but they need it, why should they have to be transferred to another hospital, mm-hmm, if you're capable of doing it? But we were only allowed to do emergencies. So that was the issue. So fortunately, the governor signed legislation. Again, we're very grateful to our legislative leadership, especially Senator Vitale and Speaker Coughlin and others, and ultimately the governor for signing it. So that issue was resolved. And we provide that service now, which is a great service to provide, sure, to the community. It's important. Mm-hmm. As far as the litigation with Horizon, I preface my comment by saying we've always valued our relationship with Horizon. And okay, so, of course, there may be differences between providers and insurers. You know, that's another whole tangent rabbit hole to go down. But the fact is, we were kept from being a tier one provider. And we were relegated to a tier two status, which meant that if a patient came here, they had to pay more out of pocket. They were attempted to be steered to other hospitals that are tier one. So the long and the short of it is, we did have a litigation that went on for 5 years. We did settle that litigation. And I'm pleased to say that since, I guess, May of 2021, St. Peter's has been a full participant within the Omnia health plans and, okay, and some products, similar products, that patients can come here and we are tier one status, and we can see the impact that it's had, because, you know, we do see that more patients now come here that have that insurance than before. So we're grateful that we're able to resolve it, and our relationship with Horizon is intact. And again, as I said, we value that relationship.
Okay, great. Okay, well, you've been very generous with your time. And just one more thing that I wanted to ask you about before I let you go, and that is, you mentioned market headwinds before. I'm curious about your assessment of general the healthcare market in the state. What are you planning for? What do you anticipate over the next, say, 12 months or so, and then beyond that?
I appreciate that question. You know, the one thing that we didn't expect from COVID, we did expect an economic impact, and, you know, we're grateful for all of the federal funding that came and provider relief funds that hospitals in New Jersey and around the country received, and including St. Peter's. The thing that couldn't be anticipated is what we see in what I'll call it the post-COVID, even though we still have COVID, but we're not in that rampant pandemic that we spoke of earlier. But what we've seen is we've seen other impacts. You know, we're now nationally in a terrible period of inflation, and we know that that's going on. And, you know, one of the headwinds that we've seen has been the impact on the workforce. You know, there's, you know, reference to the Great Resignation, or, you know, the and people quitting their jobs, and, you know, all the changes that have occurred in workforce. So that has been a tremendous headwind for our industry nationally. And right now, even though there was a lot of money federally provided to hospitals, nationally, hospitals, their margins are under significant pressure because of all these inflationary factors, even right in the state of New Jersey. I mean, fortunately, we are still operating with a positive margin, but a number of hospitals in the state are not. And the rate of margin in the state of New Jersey right now, collectively as an industry, is probably thinner than it's been perhaps in the last 20 years. You know, back to something that many of us recall in the late 90s and early 2000s, when there was the Balanced Budget Act of 1997. So we're seeing a lot of pressure, and definitely on margins. And, you know, that's being written about nationally. And, right. You know, and still, even though the hospitals are busy, we're still, you know, many hospitals are still recovering in terms of getting their pre-COVID volume back.
Right.
You know? As busy as we are, we won't have the same number of admissions this year that we had in 2019. So that puts some pressure on revenue. So revenues, you know, being pressed a bit, costs certainly under pressure. Our labor expenses are up higher this year than probably they've been collectively for the last 3 years combined. So, you know, we put a lot of money into our workforce in terms of being able to competitive, and it's a matter of supply. Mm-hmm. You know, there needs to be a greater long-term plan rather, for having an adequate supply of nurses and other, you know, related disciplines, you know, be they respiratory therapists, physical therapists. I mean, even unskilled labor, you know, we have challenges in recruiting as well.
Okay.
So I would stop there, but those are some of the major issues.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, you're not alone. That seems to be all those seem to be themes that I've heard over and over again in doing these kinds of things. So I appreciate your update, and then I hope we can talk again soon about how you're dealing with all of this.
Oh, it'd be a pleasure. We'd be happy to talk like this by Zoom, or if you'd like to come and visit at St.
Peter's,
we'd be happy to have you and spend some time with you. Always a pleasure.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll take you up on that. Leslie Hirsch, President and CEO of St. Peter's Healthcare System. Thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thank you, Jeff. We appreciate your interest, and we appreciate you taking the time too.
Okay. And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.